So this morning, I want to talk to us about loving the church. And the title here is Love the Church, Love God. And I want to say this, and this could sound controversial, but it isn't, that loving the church is loving God. It's very difficult to separate those two concepts. And some of us would struggle with that concept, that loving the church is loving God. But the problem is we don't see the church properly. Therefore, we don't see the two as the same thing. If we shift our view of church to what God intended it to be, then actually those two match up. And if in your heart this morning it doesn't match up, then it means that you might have to change what you see church to be. You know that you can wear, we speak about this often, like you could wear colored lenses. Benjamin, can you stand up for us? I just saw that while we were worshiping. So everything that he sees through those rose-colored lenses this morning is just rose-colored. To him, this morning, the world is literally rose-colored. You can sit down. And that's often how we see things in our lives. We see it through a lens that colors it. The problem is, how do we remove that lens? And I'm hoping this morning that I can actually change something of how you see church and something of what you think church is. And before we look at the clip, why is church so important? Because you know what we're just saying about was Jesus, you're the center of our hearts. Jesus, you're the name above all names. And some people would say, no, but why are you preaching about church? Shouldn't we preach about Jesus? What I'm saying is it's the same thing. The church is here to glorify God's name. The church is here to direct our hearts to Jesus. We come together as a church to do exactly that. So that's it. Are you ready? Okay, let's play that.
What if a church actually took God at his word? Where every member...
Welcome to Josh Jen. And would that be our experience? I can't put it in better words. I can almost say, okay, we've already taken up a collection. We can go home. If that is what we look like. The problem is we are not there yet. And that's why we can go on. Why is the church then so important? Let me read why it's so important. In Ephesians 3:7-12, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all Lord's people, the grace was given me, this is Paul writing, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. That's you, the Gentiles. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Loving the church is an extension of loving God, because the church is the body of Christ on earth. The Bible speaks about that the church. What is it not? And I said this a couple of weeks ago. The church is not a building. The church is not us having coffee in the week. The church is not an organization that we give money to and do good things. You know that if we don't have the power of God among us, then we become an organization that does well. And the world will love us because we feed the poor, we look after social justice, we take up all those issues as a church. We shouldn't. Actually, we shouldn't get involved in civilian affairs. We should be involved with the church affairs. There should be no needy among us. Loving the church is an expression of loving God. Now, Do you have a choice whether you want to love those people in the church? The church is you. We looked at that last week. But it doesn't end with you. It goes on to the person next to you and the person next to you and the empty seat that stayed home this morning. But you don't have a choice. Why? Because Jesus said so. John 13:34-35 says, this is Jesus speaking, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. One of my favorite verses. But a command, not a suggestion, not if you feel like it. Jesus is commanding us. The one that we just sang, Jesus, you're the ruler of us all. Jesus, you're the king and priest. You are my everything. I give you my life. And Jesus turns around and says, love the person next to you. I command you. Strong language. We have no choice. The church is God's manifest, visible presence on earth and shows his love for us. Before you were saved, you were lost. You were an orphan. You were dead. Those are the words in the Bible to describe who you were. You were dead, an orphan, and lost. And then you found God. Actually, God found you. The Holy Spirit brought you back to life, miraculously. And what is it that God created for you not to be an orphan anymore, not to be lonely anymore? The church. So that you can slot into something, so you can be part of something. Imagine you can be part of something that is bigger than yourself. In that clip, welcome to Just Gen. Imagine you can be some part of something bigger than yourself. You can't be. In fact, if you're part, then you are already bigger than yourself. But this is what God created for us to experience him. It is his church. It is not a building. It's you. It's us gathering together in fellowship. The church is only possible because Jesus died. It was hidden before he died. He didn't even tell his disciples about it while he was here. He knew about it, but he kept quiet. He only opened up the secret after he was resurrected. Paul writes this. He says, this secret has been revealed to me, which the scribes and the Pharisees and all the clever people were searching for ages. He says they were looking for it. They were like, how does this work? God, how do we please you? How do we do this? What do we do next? And then after Jesus went to be with God and the Holy Spirit came, he revealed it. And he went, it's through the church. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He was laid down as the cornerstone of this. In him, the whole building is being constructed together to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you, too, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The world cannot see God outside of us. And that command of Jesus is a central part of faith, of Christianity. It is love, not I command you, a new command. Love one another like I loved you. That doesn't stop with me loving my wife, maybe loving my kids sometimes, and then far stretch a couple of people. I said that last week. It's a command. I promise you it's not easy. You're going to need God to help us. But for the body of Christ to do what it needs to do, we need each one of us. We need to shift our focus. We need to change what we think church is. So what is, I'm talking about this a lot, but what is it? Well, it's the body of Christ. It's us loving one another. It's being devoted. So if God has added you and to the visitors today, you're welcome to join us. You really are. Ah, now I can see you. You're really welcome to join us. But if you're not joining us, please join another church. Please join a local church. Please join a church that's close to you where you can be part. And God gives different things for different churches to do. You know that. Because all the churches together, not just Josh Jen, not just 412, there are some other churches out there, I promise you, that actually proclaim God's name correctly. Find it. Look at their leaders. Why is it great that you can see Andrew on that screen? And why you can go to 412 and meet him in person? You know why it's great? Because you're following him. And you could go, I want to have a church that doesn't follow a man. I'm going to tell you, you're going to follow the leader of the church, no matter which church you join. Join one where you can see the guy. Don't go join a church where you don't even know who he is. If you want to join a church, and this is just for if you have to move here and you get into a place where there is no Josh Jen, no 412, or you're still looking for a church, find out who the guy is, that the top guy that leads. Look at his life and see if you can follow him. Because that's what the Bible says, is consider your leaders and the outcome of their lives and follow them. You do not want to follow somebody that you cannot agree with, whose life's outcome is not what you desire for your life. Because you do get what your leaders have. That wasn't in my notes. But you're welcome to join if you're not part. This is a great church. But let me tell you what God has given us in Josh Jen as a vision of what we should be like. God's given us the vision and a command for us as Josh Jen to be a blueprint church. It's in that welcome to Josh Jen, blueprint church. What is a blueprint? We used to have 50s in school. Huh? Who's old enough to have had a 50? Yeah, 50cc motorcycle. Huh? Who had a 50? Come, just me. 2, 3, 4. You wanted one. Better not wanted a 50. I'm sorry. I, true story, never owned a 50, but I had lots of 50s to choose from. My mates all had. I already lived at the beach. I didn't need to go anywhere. They had to travel to me, so they needed 50s. But it was fun, 50s. But you could buy, if you were lucky, you could get your hands onto a blueprint engine. I remember that well. So what was that? Well, they used to make these motorcycles by the thousands in the factory. And in time, the mold that they were using to print the engine, and they literally print it, they stamp it into hot metal, the mold would actually start wearing. And in time, it's not exactly what it should be anymore. Right? And then actually it doesn't work as well as the original. And then after a while, what they do is they actually look at the plan. They look at the original. And they go, wait, you've got to come back to that. And then they remake a mold. And then the next engine is the first engine. And it's the closest. That mold that they reference back to, that's the blueprint. And the first couple of engines that were printed, we used to call the blueprint engines. I have no idea how we knew that they were supposedly a blueprint engine. But we spoke about it a lot. That is what you wanted. And that is what God has given us as Josh Jen to be. He's told us that he wants us to be that, a blueprint church. A church that other churches could reference to and say, that's how God wants you to be. Now, in the words of Andrew that leads us, we are not there yet. We are not that blueprint church yet. But we're trying. And for us to try, you need to try. You need to try to be exactly what God wants you to be. Not more, not less. Exactly. You need to find what it is that God has in your life for you to do and do it. Hint, it's in the church. At least I've ruled out a whole bunch of stuff for you now. How can I say that it's in the church? Because Ephesians 4:1 says that God has called you to love the church. Your calling, right? So let's look at the doctors around here. The doctors understand this language. If they're on call, they used to have pagers before there were cell phones. Because no matter where they go, they could get paged, they could get called upon. And then they didn't have to be sitting there and waiting for somebody to come in that's sick. But they could be called, they could be paged. And then if a doctor's having a braai with his mates and he's on call, And he gets that phone call. He leaves it just there. He'll leave the meat on the fire to burn away. And he'll go and sort out, because that's his priority, yes? You have been called by God. Not you're going to be called. Not you might be called. Not you are on call. He has already called you. Your pager has already gone off. Your phone has run. And what is it that God's given you? Jesus said, I command you to love those in the church. You should drop everything else and do that. Your calling is not your ministry. Is there a thing called ministry? Prayer for the sick? Yes, there is. Prophetic, apostolic, shepherd. That's me. My ministry that God has given me is to shepherd, meaning actually to teach you to love. But my calling is to love. And you've got the same calling. We all have the same calling. We have different functions. And that's the body of Christ. You have different functions. One's the hand, one's the ear, one's the nose. And scripture says that. It says you have to do your part. Otherwise, we are dysfunctional. The problem is we've just planted a church in Malmesbury. Lots of Afrikaans farmers in Malmesbury. They plant and they sow and they reap. And they have sheep that they have to tend. And it's a busy life. And they're far away. And you know what? They, like you, have been part of some other church somewhere in their life. Maybe if you ask them, are you a Christian? They'll tell you this. Ek het in die kerk groot geword. You know how many of you have given me that answer? I hope if I ask you now, that's not your answer. Ek het al in 'n garage geslaap, maar ek is nie 'n kar nie. Nee? Where you go does not define who you are. If you've been grown up in a church, I'm telling you that if this has got to be a blueprint church, it means that the church that we've grown up in, the church around the block, God is actually saying that's not a blueprint church. Whoa, how can I say that? I know that because we are not 100% there. So nobody's there. Because if I find that church, I'll join it and leave this one. Because I want to be part of the perfect church. Problem? The moment I join it, I've spoiled it. I've taken the blueprint away because I'm there. And I'm going to come with my mindset of what church should be like. Yes? So those things that we think church is, the things that we've grown up in, that it's a building that we go to, the traditions that we hold, and we hold them. We think that they are church. They're important. Will you allow God to challenge it? Not me. But will you allow the Holy Spirit to challenge what you think church is and what it means? What it looks like to be part of church? Will you allow God to challenge your mindset this morning? And not just this morning, because it's an ongoing thing. It's great that we're growing. It's great that there's a Bredasdorp. Bredasdorp's not a new plant. Bredasdorp's an entire church that's joining us. And it's amazing. And if Bredasdorp listens to this, you're so welcome. Hanley's there. Because she was on her own. And had no church. And drove to Swellendam. And now there's a church that you can go to. But here's the problem. Those people are going to join Josh Jen and take us away from the Blueprint Church image. Because no matter what, they're going to come in and say, why are we following this Andrew guy? Why is it Andrew here and Andrew achter and voor? And why is he so important? I'll tell you why. Because is he that important? No. And yes. Was Moses important? More important than Jesus? More important than God that was leading them? No, he wasn't. But was he important? Well, if you were there, try and speak out against him and see what happens. Some people did. Spoke out against Moses. They got leprosy because they dared to speak against the leader that God had chosen. Does God work through leaders? He does. He works through me. If you're part of Josh Jen Otsuren, then you have to follow me. God requires that. And if I lord it over your faith, if I start telling you what you can and cannot do in life, well, I'll answer to God. I'm too scared of God to do that. So what does a good leader do in a church? He sits on the floor first. So if there are too many people and not enough seats, then the leader sits on the floor first. It's in that welcome to Josh Jen thing. And I've seen Andrew do it. And I'm willing to do it. This morning, and I'm not boasting, this morning there wasn't enough seats. So I went and stood in the back. That's why I was there. Deacons, where were you? Community leaders, where were you? Were you sitting in a seat? Mario wasn't. Mario was running around getting seats for everybody. Finding another one seat. Wow, that's public. Guys, if we're going to get it right, we have to get it right. If we want to resemble Jesus, then we can't walk on eggshells the whole time and go, what if somebody gets offended if we say this? Actually, you know what? If we find it in the Word, let's just do it. Let's just follow God's Word. If we see it there, we do it. Pray for the sick. Go put your hands on them and pray for them. Let's just do it. Don't have anything to do with the wrong and darkness. Let's just do it. There should be no needy among us. Let's just do it. Do you want to? Do you want to be part of that? I desperately want to be part of that. Desperately. But it won't be easy because we have to love one another. We have to be devoted. Devoted. Devoted means that you make your primary goal that which you are devoted to. Acts 2:42-47. Go read that. Read it again. That is the closest we have to a blueprint summary of what the church should be like. It then expands that into the rest of Acts. Read Acts 2:42-47. I think it's 49 actually. Read that and then read the rest of Acts and see how it's applied. What it looked like. Holy Spirit filled, power filled, signs and wonders. William's knee is still not completely healed. We still have a chance for a sign and a wonder there. We can still go to him and pray for him. And God could still miraculously heal his knee, even though he had an operation. And the fact that he will walk one day again on that knee is already a miracle. Because 100 years ago, his leg was cut off with a saw while he was biting on a stick. Yeah? It's already a miracle. My kids, they're always a good example for me to use. But years ago, I remember this. I think it was Michael, or it could have been Benjamin. But we were renting a school hall in Malpos as well. And I needed to go see the headmaster about something in the contract. And I took one of them with me. And we walked in, and we walked into the headmaster's office in school. Whoever went to the headmaster's office? I did. Yes. Was it a good visit? Not my hands, not up anymore. Was it a bad visit? Yeah. So you know what that feels like. Nah? Liesl was the head girl. She has no idea. But yeah, you go to the headmaster's office, and it's the headmaster's office. He used to smoke in my days. So it used to smell like smoke. I remember that well. And there you go. And he's this authoritative person. And you have a certain way of dealing with him because you're this little naughty kid that's being called to the headmaster's office. Now you're in big trouble. We used to get hidings. It helped me. So my kids walk with me into the headmaster's office. They walk straight up to him and say, "Hello, hoe gaan het?" He had no idea what to do with my kids. Because they were homeschooled. They've never been in school. They have no idea that he's supposed to be feared or something. I don't know. They just don't know. He's just another guy. Somebody that my dad has to come talk to. So, hello, hoe gaan het? He was absolutely thrown. He said yes to everything I asked. It worked. They made him feel so uncomfortable. You are called to make the world feel uncomfortable. You are called to not see the world and church through different lenses. You should be God's child. You should be rock solid in your identity of who your dad is. And no matter where you go with him, it doesn't matter who the guy is standing in front of you. He's just another person. And yes, you have respect for people in authority. I'm not saying not that. But you hear what I am saying? You're supposed to actually upset the balance wherever you go. When people walk in among us, will they meet Jesus? And what would that be like? incredible if they walk into this environment where we're all together. Sometimes uncomfortable. Sometimes it's the one person that's stuck in the back, not knowing, am I going to lift my hands? They dancing in front. That's weird. It is not that weird. It is actually, the problem is we changed the language of the Bible. If we find it in the Bible, you all said we'll just do it. Yes? How about shout? To the Lord. Jesus! Huh? How about that? It says there, shout to the name. Shout. We sang that today. Shout to the name. Shout God's name. We can't actually do it, can we? We should. It says dance. It says clap hands. Well done, youth. That song, just by the way, is on an offbeat. You should follow the drums when you clap. Otherwise, you're on the beat, and it's not. Friends, don't let friends clap on one and three. I'm your friend. We need to critically look at ourselves, not at the churches out there. Okay? This is not about the church that meets next door. They've got their own thing that God's asked them to be. And one day, they're going to have to answer for that. But we need to critically look at ourselves and see, are we doing what God has purposed us to do? If we're the hand, is the hand doing what the hand should do? But it depends on you. Quickly. It's going to be tough to remove that lens. I've started playing golf. I can say that now because Jan took me and I played 9 holes. Yes. So I did play golf once. So I've started. Here's the thing. Golf's an awesome sport to use in preachers. Why? It's all about the habit of what you do. Stop me when I go wrong. We have a winning team among us. Huh? You guys won a golf competition of non-golf players. But that's something. You only have to go play once, and then you know that is something. Because golf is all about doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's about training yourself. That plays tennis. Tennis is very much the same thing. It's about training yourself to do the same thing. Every time that you swing that club through and you hit the ball, you actually want to do the exact same thing. That's why you've got different irons. So that when you do the same thing, you get a different result because you used a different tool. Clever, isn't it? So you know when you hit the ball with this iron, it travels that far. It goes that high. And you can change a little bit, but not a lot. Yes? So it's all about habits. It's all about training yourself to do the same thing again and again and again. And it's great if it's a good habit. I've only played golf like once on a driving range and once hit the ball for 9 holes. And I have some bad habits. Who knew? Because I've watched some people play and I had an idea of what I think I should do. And they're all wrong. And I do everything like they said I must do it. Like everything. And I swing that thing through and the ball goes. Luckily just past the girl's tee. Apparently it's very expensive if you don't hit past the girl's tee. Which really isn't that far. And then I do exactly the same thing and the ball just goes. Disappears in the distance straight. And I go like, but I did exactly the same thing as the previous time. But Jan looks at me from the outside and he goes, no, you lifted your head. Because you lifted your head, your shoulders moved a little bit up. And now the face of the club went a little bit higher and it knocked the ball on the top. And although it did roll and you got somewhere, you didn't get there the way you wanted and where you could have gone. And I can't see that. I need an outside perspective to look at me and say, this is what you're doing wrong. Do that. And now starts the process for me of doing it over and over and over again. I found an AI app on my phone that records my swing and gives me feedback. Technology. AI. I love it. I was like sweating yesterday while you guys were playing golf. I was swinging that club. I'm sore. I didn't even know I had muscles. But I would swing that thing and the ball would, I think, go perfectly. And then I look at the app and it takes 40 seconds. And it goes 2 out of 5. Oh, what did I do wrong? Now your shoulders went straight. Now your club didn't go high enough. Now went too high. Went in the wrong direction. Very helpful to have an outside perspective on every time I hit it to actually correct me as I'm forming a habit. Church is like that. The problem is you already have bad habits. So do I. We already somewhere in our head remember that church is a building because that's where I grew up. I have to unlearn that. It's going to take time and time and time and an outside perspective. Who is your outside perspective? Before you change something in your life, do you ask somebody? Because I would. I do. I've learned that now. I used to make my own decisions. I'm a logical guy. I put it down. Where am I going to get more money? Where am I going to work the least amount of time for the most amount of money? And what can further me in my career? Which decision is that? Maybe I sacrifice on the money now, but I'm actually put in a position where there's no ceiling and I could go up. I used to be in corporate. You strategically plot your way to the top so that you can be one of the exec teams. And I was doing well. I did that. I plotted. I saw who I needed to hang out with. That's how business works. I made the right friends in the company. Made sure that if they went somewhere, I went with them. Plot your way through. And I made my own decisions. And you know what? I could have made a lot of money that way. I could have had a lot of power in a big company today if I followed that. But I would not have walked in the purpose of God. For me. That's for me. I'm not saying quit your career. I'm saying is, what does God want you to do? Where I came back, I was frightfully unhappy. Ask my wife. Frightfully unhappy. I hated it. I did well, but I hated it. I love what I do now. I am in the will of God for my life. Right now. I know that. You know how good that feels? Ask me again. It feels great. The only way you're going to get there is actually by asking people's perspective around you in the church. Should I do this? What do you think? It's not giving the responsibility for your life over to other people. It's getting perspective. In the council of many, there is wisdom. If it's there, will we do it? There's much that we need to shift in our lives. Do you just go away on a weekend? You just decide, I'm going away. Or do you actually ask your community leader, is it a good time for me to go? 3 weeks from now, I'm planning to go away with my family. What, we're on duty then. Would you consider not taking your family away if your community has the honor of making coffee and sitting out the chairs? Because if it's your calling to love the church, your calling, God has called you. It means you'll leave the bride place and go do it. Maybe it's your only weekend that you can take your kids away. Then hopefully your community leader is not going to lord it over your faith. Have you considered that our community is on duty, community leaders? Choose your words well. Because when we have people that are devoted, when somebody asks me in Justin, will you move to Otsuren? I don't consider not going. Not for 1 second do I consider not coming to Otsuren. Why? Because I trust those guys that I lead. That much, that they have considered it. They know that this is God's will for my life. So I can just blindly actually follow them most of the time. Actually, all of the time. That's how well I know them, though. I know them to be trustworthy. I trust them. I trust that they, if they get it wrong, they earnestly seek, were looking for God. Reconsidered and considered again. So, leaders with me, be careful. That we don't, as the devoted, come and ask your perspective to hear God's voice for them. What is it God says? Big responsibility. And together, we can be that church. Together, we can be part of something bigger than ourselves. Together, we could actually become the blueprint church, which God intended for us to be. That would glorify Jesus' name more than anything on this planet. More than my own ministry growing to be an internationally known thing with my name on it. If we impact the world and the way the church looks in the world, according to scripture, not according to our whims, but according to God's word, nothing can stop us. Stop us from what? From being what God wants us to be. Go watch This Is Church on the 412 app again and again and again. I cannot go through everything that the Bible says the church should be in a sermon. I'm not even trying. That is just scratching the surface of what we should be. 7 hours of it is scratching the surface of what we should be. We have a big task. Are you up for it? Youth, you've got the least amount of stuff, baggage that you have to unlearn. I love you guys for that. But even you have stuff. You might be sitting here and going, yeah, oh, I've been in Josh Gen for 25 years. You have stuff that you picked up in Josh Gen that we need to unlearn. I come from a this or a that. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to move you? If you make a recording of you doing something, like, let's say, praying for somebody. If you make a recording, would you sound like the rest of Josh Gen does? You know that being in the kingdom is a culture. We are not from this world. We are in it. And God called us to be a culture. And the way we speak is a culture. It defines culture. We're not all going to have the same accent, because now there's a Josh Gen in America, and that'll take forever to get them to speak correct English. Then we have some 412 churches in Britain. I'm trying to get there. And Irish, and we don't know, have no idea what they say half the time. So it's not an accent. There's some stuff that we do because we're from South Africa, yes? And that's okay. There could be a flavor to it. But the kingdom stuff, are we sold out on that? And you don't have to be a clone of each other. But you hear what I'm saying. If you record yourself, what do you sound like to yourself? And why? Would you ask that question, why? I've gone too long, so I'm going to land it right here. What we're going to need is forgiveness, encouragement, working together. We're going to need all of that stuff. Ephesians 4 verse 2 to 3 says this, be humble, completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's the secret for us. How are we going to get there with each other? Be completely humble and gentle, especially if you lead. Completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. When you speak to one another, are you doing everything to keep the unity and the peace? Is what you're going to say next, is what you're going to think next about what whoever said about whatever, aiming towards unity, love, peace? Every thought and everything you do, is that aimed to that? Do you believe the best of somebody when they say something? Past the point that it's proven differently, will you just keep on believing the best? Every effort, completely humble and gentle. That's how we'll get there. Love the church, love God.